to fish. Amen. The angel of the Lord, the greatest physician, fisherman on earth, is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Am I correct? Hallelujah. The greatest fisherman that has ever lived is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Amen. And he came and he was teaching William Branham how to fish. How to fish. And every evangelist here, you are a fisherman. And everyone that has a burden for lost souls, you are a fisherman. Praise the Lord. But listen, church, this is important for anybody hearing me now for the first time. Our older members, you have heard this several times before. And it's important you catch this. It will help you in your Christian journey. It will help you. Every true Christian is a big fish. Every true predestinated seed of God is a big fish of the Lord. The denominations call a big fish, particularly Pentecostals, a big fish is a member of the court that has money. Say, we don't catch one big fish. Well, I know what they call him fish. Please, if you have set that microphone, can you return it? If you have set that microphone, can you return it to me, please? Praise God. Well, it depends on how you look at who a fish is, because there are different types of fishes. I remember that the Lord Jesus Christ wanted to pay his bill one time. How many remember that story in the Bible? He had no money. What did he do? He sent them to go to the sea and bring one fish. And from that fish, he brought out what? He brought out money. Collected enough money he needed to pay his bill, but he didn't carry that fish home. Where did he keep the fish? He returned him to where he belonged. So maybe that is how some of these fishes are. Bring them to church, use their money, and return them to the world. You will not be that type of fish in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You can't be that type of fish. A big fish. The angel of the Lord was teaching William Branham how to catch that fish. How to catch a big fish. What did he tell him? First and foremost, a good fisherman will not go with a naked hook. If a fish see naked hook, will he come to that hook? Eh? Will he come? He won't come. That is why every fisherman looks for a fish bait. They use worm. They use whatever it is. Something that will attract the fish to come and eat. But unknown to him, there is a hook inside. Amen. And what he does, he says, for you to catch the real fish, there are three pulls. To pull from the water. Three pulls. And every monumental ministry has three pools. If that three pool is not seen in that ministry, that is not a fishing ministry. If you don't catch this, you'll be jumping from Ikeja to Ijesha to Shomolu to wherever. You'll become like Jude, call them wandering stars. It's because you have no bearing, you have no anchor. You don't even know where to locate where God is. Listen, church. Now, he told William Branham, he said, when you put the fishing bait, you throw the fish inside the water. When you throw the fish, the hook inside the water, the big fish is your target. The fisherman is looking for big fish. Not small fish. But every time you throw that bait inside the water, The first people that rush down, the first fish, they are the small, small, small fish. Because anything that move on top of water, they will rush killing our food. But the big fish will never move. Where those small, small fishes are hanging there, like that, the big fish will stay and look. They watch. You go see, they were color this. They look. Brethren, we are in a time where you have to look before you leap. Amen. Hallelujah. But when you say look, it depends on what you are looking for before you can look. Are you looking for God or you are looking for miracle? Amen. Now, he said, because that fish, they look, those small, small fish, they will come gather, so they will cover what is attracting them. The big fish will not be able to see. So, you have to make the first pool. You drag the thing out small. That is the first pool. When you start the first pool, the fish, the big fish that was looking, will be able to see something. Say, be like, say something there. Then it will draw closer. And look, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? That was what Nathaniel said. Amen. When Philip said, come to Ejesha and see something. Where? Ejesha. It's Ejesha. It's Ejesha. It did not start. It was at, and that reminds me, somebody sent me a note through the suggestion box that the only thing, problem he has with this ministry is that we are calling names. You will continue with that problem, oh. Because we shall continue to call name, oh. If I don't call name, how will you know who I'm talking about? Amen. So please, I pray that you will overcome that problem because we shall continue to call names. Apostle Paul called names. He called Demas. He called Alexander the coppersmith. He called them. He called Judas. They called names. Amen. Why are you afraid of calling names if what you know you are saying is the truth? Amen. You got, if you don't want to call name, why do you call Satan devil? Why are you calling him names? You are calling Satan devil because he's an enemy of the gospel. And any human being that is an enemy of the gospel, call his name, his phone number, and his address so that the seed of God will run away from that place. Okay, praise the Lord. So Nathaniel said, Philip said, go to Ejesha and see. They say, waiting they go on there and say, go and come and see. And Philip, Nathaniel said, can any good thing come out of? That's why it happened for a cartoon. And we went there, nothing there. Now so it happened again for where? Aja. We ran to Aja, nothing there. Now so it happened again, oh. For where again? That's why it happened for Regu. We run there, oh. We don't see him. Now so one time it happened for Bagada. We went there, not the same thing, all of them are the same thing. Can any good thing come out of Ejesha? Anyway, what he did was, he says, when you bring it up, first pool, not out of the water, because the final one is the one that you bring the fish out of the water. He said, the first one, the first pool, then the big fish will come near. And the pool that he was referring to is the gift. No man preaches the gospel that of this salvation without a pool. The pool, something that will pull the fish out of the water of the world. And the pool is the gift. Every true evangelist has the power of the Holy Ghost backing him up. Because by that, you seek the attention of the fish. So, William Branham was given the first pool. That is understanding the ministry of William Branham. And every other monumental ministry at all, especially the messianic ministry, the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ was in three pools. The ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ in this restoration time was replicated in the ministry of William Marion Branham. Amen. And you didn't meet William Branham. I didn't meet him. But what caught me was not the first pool, was not the second pool, it was the third pool that caught me. Now, listen, church. The first pool, hallelujah, that was given to William Branham was the healing gift. Through that healing gift, hallelujah, remember, I said, pulling the fish out of the water for a purpose. He, William Branham, was given a gift. He was given a message to God's people who were locked up in the denominational system. But how will he deliver the message to them to fish them out of error? To fish them out of the denominational system? He was given the fishing pools. The first one was the healing gift. At that time, everybody was following him. No matter what type of sickness you have, healing was taking place. Yafu, everywhere. Within that time, all the denominational preachers, they were following him. They never seen that type of thing before. Remember, at that time, he was saying nothing against the system. Why? He was advertising himself among the denominations because it's among them the true bride. The true bride of Jesus Christ were locked up in that denomination. And so he has to exercise himself first. And everywhere they accepted him, some of them, people like Gordon Lindsay, they formed themselves and even did magazine for him. They call it the Voice of Healing. Before he will go, the association of Christians in that town, they will all gather the way they do for Inabonke when he comes. All over in Africa, all over the world, hundreds of thousands of people were following him. He was going, preaching for God so loved the world. And as at that time, only healing. Oh, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The cripples were walking. He would go on crusade. They would carry trailer loads of crutches. The blind were seeing mighty miracle signs and wonders. That was the first pool. And that attracted them. But the true seed, we still be looking, who is this one? Even a healing, we don't see entire, but who be this man? Then the angel said, it was the time for the second pool. The second pool now was the gift of discernment. The ability for him to see you and tell you what your problem is, your name, your address, and tell you, go, it is over. Nobody had that gift, and that is a messianic gift. Forget the impersonations that are going on in the world now. As at that time, nobody had that gift because God reserved that for a purpose. Hallelujah. By the time it reached that, the true fish that was staying afar looking, they opened up and they said, Kai, only God can go this far. Only God can go this far. The fish then began to come. As they were coming, William Branham said, because by that gift, the true fish will come. By that gift, he said, now prepare for the third pool. Now that they are coming, prepare for the third pool. The third pool is the one that will catch the real fish. You have attracted the attention, they have come. The third pool is not healing, it's not discernment. The third pool is the opening of the word. Hallelujah. Because the truth is, the true seed of God are not carried away by miracles, signs, and wonders. The true seed. Now, you don't rubbish the gift. You believe the gift. You give glory to God for the gift wherever it is. Whether it is in Sele or CSC or Catholic Church, or whether a Reverend Father in the East is demonstrating the power of God, they are giving glory to God. Yes, that is wonderful. But what is he offering for the people to eat? Hallelujah. The bride of Jesus Christ, the true elect of God, will never go and settle down anywhere, anyhow. What really establishes or fills that vacuum in a Christian? Because wherever you are, wherever you have been, there has been a vacuum that needed to be filled. You were still not satisfied. You knew there was still something missing concerning the gospel. And that is the thought pool, the opening of the word. Now, if you understand what I'm saying, hallelujah, then you will discover that no ministry, no minister should say his own calling is to make you a millionaire. I don't know if you understand me. No minister, no ministry anywhere should say his own calling is for healing. His own calling is for prayers. His own calling is for deliverance. No! There is a message that the church needs to hear. The gift is to cause them to come so that they will receive the message. Moses told God when he gave him the message, go to Egypt. What was the message? Go to Pharaoh and do what? Let my people go. That was the message. Thus saith the Lord. Why? It was time for God to move his people out of bondage. But Moses knew, if I go, they will not believe me. What sign do you give me? And God, of course, knows. He gave him two signs. Put your hand in your bosom, he put it. Bring it out, it became leprous. Put it again, he put it in. Bring it out, it was cleansed. Miracle. You're holding something in your hand, the stick that you used to lead Jethro's sheep, your father-in-law's sheep. That's what you were using. He said, that's a stick. He said, throw it to the ground. He threw it to the ground. It became snake. Before he ran, he said, pick it again. He picked it. It became stick again. And then he made a statement. He said, if they will not believe the voice, somebody shout voice. Shout voice. He said, if they will not believe the voice of the first sign, they will believe the voice of the second sign. Hallelujah. Moses was not sent to go and turn sticks to snakes or to turn hands to leprous hands and return them again. Moses was not sent to go and perform miracle signs and wonders there. He was given, his assignment was, go and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. That is the ministry. The ministry is, go. Thus said the Lord, Pharaoh, let my people go. But if you doubt whether it is God that has sent me, see the sign here. These signs shall follow them that believe. Believe what? Believe the gospel. Believe the gospel. There is a gospel, brethren. There is a gospel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Therefore, as you come to Bride Assembly, you are wondering what is happening. We have a message. The gifts you see, that is not the ministry. The anointing you see is not the ministry. The anointing you see is to enable the fish to come so that the hook will catch them. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Is it a problem that brought you here one Tuesday? Somebody here? Eh? Brother Tony? Eh? No problem. Eh? Nothing was walking around you. Eh? Shishi no day. And you pray in your church tire.
Nothing happened.
But watch it, Brother Tony. Then they told you there's one church somewhere at Mafoluku that if you go there, prophets fool there. They will tell you the cause of your problem. They will tell you everything. And when you came, you saw it, what was happening.
Yes, sir.
That is what brought you. But by the second service you came here, still struggling to see one of them, you heard the message.
Yes, sir.
Eh?
I have forgotten about the monition.
And then he forgot about the problem. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord. But now watch it. You stayed here for over 1 year, for over 2 years. The problem was still there.
Yes, sir.
Eh?
Yes,
the problem that brought you was still there.
Still
but you could not go back to your church again.
I cannot.
Yet the problem was still there.
I can't
blessed be the name of the Lord.
I can't fit in there again.
Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Because you find yourself singing, I am satisfied with Jesus every day. Whether I eat or not, God is gonna be wrong on my way to the glory. And you began to tell your former church, if you won't go, God is gonna be. If you won't go, a true fish. You see, when he came here, he saw something that his problem became nothing. Why? He suddenly understand the reason why that problem was upon him. For all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. That is what this ministry is. When we want to break mirror, there will be no seat to sit down. Amen. Because all those ones, they are small, small, small fishes. But the big fish, when they see the word, it is the word they are looking for. It's the word. Hallelujah. It's the word. And so when it is time to open the word, just know that this is the reason God brought you here. Open your ears and hear what we are telling you, because every day the light of the gospel shines brighter and brighter. We begin to understand the mysteries of the kingdom to enable us know how we take this journey from earth to glory. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So we are continuing now, and I'm going straight to my message, where we take our bearing from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let's read on 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Some people will have to help us to read. And note it. Let's just read it from verse 1. Evangelist Ike made a lot of references to some of the scriptures we read, but many of you were not here. We will read it again during the Sunday school. Many of you were not here, maybe because of transport, but whatever it is, those are the end time scriptures. You don't hear references of those scriptures anywhere outside of the bride circle, the way you hear them here. Who will help us to read from verse 1? Read it up to verse 13 to give us a picture. Please, this afternoon, we shall do a lot of reading if God will help us to catch the picture. We took this on a Sunday school, Bible study on Tuesday, last Tuesday, but not too many people were there. Many of you here were not there. But it's so important that I cannot limit this topic to the Bible study. We all need to hear some of these things. So let's read on now from verse 1.
2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I start from verse 1.
Yes.
Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
That is, he is speaking concerning the topic of the coming, second coming of Jesus Christ, which all of us are waiting for. Yes?
And by our gathering together unto him. Verse 2. And that we be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the days of Christ is at hand. Verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means.
Don't let anybody deceive you concerning the coming of Jesus Christ, because there is a way he will come. There are signs you will watch out, so that don't trouble your mind. And you were saying this during the first church age, yes?
Except they come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Verse 4. Mm-hmm. who opposeth and exalted himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he has God seated in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know that. I know you what which holdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity already walk. Only who know, who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the work of Satan, with all powers and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivables of unrighteousness in them that perish,
yes,
because they receive not the love of the truth, mm-hmm, that they might be saved.
Yes.
Verse 11. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie.
For this cause, what will God do to them because they have no love for truth? What will God do to them? Read it. What will God do to them for this cause?
And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion.
Strong delusion.
That they should believe a lie.
Go on.
That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness.
Amen.
But we are bound to give thanks.
Hallelujah. It's okay. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Listen, church, if you have not heard it before. I spoke briefly last Sunday about this. I want to conclude it today. Because there is a group of people. These people are not unbelievers outside, though. Churchgoers. You want to serve God, but you don't want to serve God in truth. And yet you want to serve God. Well, we all know that there are a group of tares in the church. We have looked at the serpent seed. We have looked at these two spirits that are in the church. A type of the two seeds in the Garden of Eden, in the womb of Eve. Now we are continuing. But God has processes of separating them. But now, there is another process that we want to look at today, known as the spirit of delusion. Because they refuse the knowledge of truth so that they can be saved. What happened? He said God himself will give them over to a delusion, so that they will believe a lie. I have to stress this because this is one of the greatest mysteries now going on in the Church of Jesus Christ. That millions of people this morning that have left their homes and going to church, believing that they are worshiping God to end up in heaven, not knowing that they have been deluded. And this delusion came from God himself. And that's why you will hear the Bible speaks about a group of people who said there will be weeping and wailing, gnashing of teeth. And then you see a group of people in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, where he says, not everyone that says, Lord, 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 will enter into the kingdom. He said, at that day, the day there is the reckoning day. There is a reckoning day. It's a reckoning day. There is a day of judgment. And one other mystery there that we need to know is there is a group of people, because God, it looks as if God is defeated. It looks as if God is defeated. Because people who seem to be striving, in iniquity, they are prospering in iniquity. And anointing is flowing. And people are being deceived by that anointing, thinking that anointing is evidence of approval by God. But brethren, evidence of approval is not anointing. And I just wish this afternoon, God can help us just catch this picture, because many of you don't have the time to come for our Bible study where we say so many things. If you can just catch this scripture, I mean this picture that I'm trying to bring out today from the scriptures. If majority of you here can catch it, Lagos, the whole of Lagos will be in trouble. Because there will be a group of people that cannot be deceived. I'm telling you, that is the truth. Because it's a mystery. We continue to look at it. Apostle Paul said in that scripture you just read, Brother Tony, verse 7, he says, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. He said, many will come. Was it not in your name I cast out devils? Was it not in your name we healed the sick? We did miracles, signs and wonders. That Matthew 7, I'm quoting. He said, but he will look at them at that day. You look at them and you will tell them, I didn't know you. Go away from me, ye that walk iniquity. And what is iniquity? Iniquity, knowing the right thing to do and refusing to do it. You knew the right thing to do. You refused to do it. You know. You know what you are doing is wrong. You know. Is there anybody sitting down here that does not know that God forbids fornication? Is there anybody here that, you didn't know that fornication is sin? No. If you know fornication is sin and you are still living in fornication, you are one of those that walk iniquity. Because you know it is wrong. You are still committing fornication, prostituting up and down. It's true. Who here does not know that God hates lies? Who here does not know that God hates gossip? That's why I preach the message I titled Unbelievers in the Church. There are unbelievers that are sitting down in the church. It's true. There are unbelievers. There are people that go to church that don't believe that there is hell. There are people that go to church and they don't believe the scripture that says God is a consuming fire. They don't believe. If you believe, you will fear God. Why are you afraid of the law? Why are you not armed robbers? Or why do armed robbers run away when they see police? It's because they believe. They believe that if police catch me, I'm finished. And you too, that's the reason why you are not committing crime. Because you know the repercussion of crime. But how many Christians really believe that there is a reckoning day coming? That God will stand you before him and tell you to give account of yourself. Did you not know that it was against the law of God not to do this, not to do that, not to do this, not to do that? But you were doing it. And you will ask, but why didn't God stop me? I have explained that several times here. That's why. I was telling Pastor Thomas this morning, and a young sister yesterday in the camp, that one of the ministers that has left this place and has started his ministry, stood at the altar, was preaching to them, and was lying concerning me. And he knows that what he's saying is lie. He knows what he's saying is lie. He says it is lie. One of the things he told them is that I am deceiving the people in Bride Assembly, that I personally told him that he said, I'm deceiving the people in Bride Assembly that I am not a signatory to the church account. And that I have confessed to him while he was here that Nami be the signatory to this church account. Now, you know he knows that what he's saying is lie. No, you know he knows it. Now, but he's not telling his girlfriend in his bedroom somewhere. Maybe the girl was scratching his head, the thing sweet and too much. Now he begin talk. You know, you can talk some things. There's a way, those of you who are married, there's a way your wife will massage you. If he ask you anything, you could give him. Even if you don't get, you go say, I'll give you tomorrow. I'll give you tomorrow. Eh? Am I correct? is like that. Maybe his girlfriend was scratching his head. Scratching his head. Then maybe, then he talked, then he didn't know. He said, don't mind. Maybe he meant to call somebody and say, he said, Pastor Moses, tell me, he said, I'm a signatory. But this man stood at the altar. He vibrated after speaking in tongues so that they would all believe him. And said, Pastor Moses is a hypocrite. Now, I told them, I said, that brother, if he's a true seed of God, God will deal with him. But you know what? If nothing happens to him for standing at the altar and lying like that, if nothing happens, then that is evident he's a serpent seed because his judgment has been concluded. It's the same thing now. I'm making reference to him. Even to you sitting down here, if you find yourself in any form of evil, work of unrighteousness, and nothing is happening to you, you are enjoying, you are prospering in it, it's also evidence you are not a seed of God. Because whom the Lord loveth, what does he do? Chastens you. Hallelujah. But those who are not his own, he leaves them until judgment day. Why? Because their judgment has been concluded. They can continue to walk in their iniquity. Praise the Lord. Now you need to know these things. There are people sitting down in the church. They have no love for truth. Look, the gospel is so clear. The early apostles had this prophetic insight into the condition that the church will go through. Let's read one of the conditions so that you understand. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Brother Ike read it in the Sunday school. Said, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, what will happen? He said, many shall depart from the faith, giving heed to what? Seducing spirits and what? Doctrines of devils. Hallelujah. I am quoting, which scripture am I quoting? 1 Timothy chapter 4. Read it, somebody. Please come with microphone.
1 Timothy yes. chapter 4.
Read
on. Verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly.
That is, the Holy Spirit is speaking clearly. About more than 1,000 years ago, the Spirit was speaking. That what?
That in the latter times.
This is the latter times.
Some shall depart from the faith.
He says some shall depart from this Bible Christianity, the faith.
Giving heed to seducing spirits.
They'll be giving heed to what?
Seducing spirits.
And what?
And doctrines of devils.
Yes.
Speaking lies in hypocrisy.
What do they do? Speaking lies in what? Hypocrisy.
Having their conscience seared with a hot iron.
Having their conscience what? Seared with a hot iron. Sister, sit down. This seducing spirit. What is a seducing spirit? It's a spirit that is trying to make you do wrong. To go against God. To make you fornicate spiritually now. It's a seducing spirit. Speaking lies in hypocrisy. In hypocrisy. Who is a hypocrite? A hypocrite is one that acts what he is not. Pretending to be what he is not. As a hypocrite. So that he's claiming to be a man of God. That is hypocrisy. So he has to speak lies to make you believe that he's a man of God. One of the things that minister told his church is that this church, that I have given instruction to members of this church that they should call me daddy and call my wife mommy. He didn't say it secretly. Now, he said it openly. And maybe that is the order I gave you here. Mommy and daddy. And after he spoke it, another evangelist that used to be here too that left came and corroborated it. That it is what my wife says that I do here. That is, she's the one running this church from the back. Amen. Then fight me, tired. They did not work. Then I want to fight this poor woman. They want to join them inside now. Now it's wrong. They know what they are saying is wrong. They know it. They know what they are saying is wrong. Speaking lies and hypocrisy. But if you read that scripture carefully, the emphasis in that scripture is not the liar. It's not the hypocrite. It's not the seducing spirit. It is the emphasis there is to those who will follow that spirit. Many we say they will give heed to that seducing spirit. So the emphasis is you hearing them. He said they will give heed. That is, they will be listening and acting on what the seducing spirit is saying. Let's read another scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 3.
Praise the Lord.
Read it from verse 1.
2 Timothy 3 verse 1. This know also that...
Read it up to verse 9.
This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Yes. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters.
See, proud. As you read that scripture, I want you to have this in mind while she's reading. No part of that scripture is written to the unbeliever. No part of the Bible. Every letter Apostle Paul wrote, he wrote it to the church. He was addressing the condition in the church. So when he said men shall be lovers of themselves more than lovers of God, he's talking about Christians within the church. Perilous times shall come in the latter days, and we are at that time now. Now read on. So don't think that when they say, you know, heady, truth breakers and all this, they are referring to 419 cocaine pushers and prostitutes outside. No! People who are going to church with Bible, speaking in tongue, going for water baptism and they are out. Workers in the church, preachers, read on now.
For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents.
Proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. The youth leader was battling with the case yesterday, day before yesterday in the church. A 15-year-old girl that ran from the house to the camp without letting the mother know. And that young girl is supposedly a member of the youth fellowship. And what happened? The mother sent several reports to the youth, and they went and visited them, and they saw what was going on. They took actions, they advised, and all of a sudden, the mother phoned that the girl has disappeared from the house. They don't know where she is, and discovered she was there. They brought her out. Why did you leave your house without letting your mother know? She began to say, I hate my mother. In fact, if I have my way, if I have a gun, I'll shoot her. If I have my way, I'll kill her. So the thing passed cheek ahead. He said his head won't scatter. He came and met the assistant youth leader, Brother Ifeanyi. He said, now you have followed come me too, so that you will finish what you started when you visited us. He said, what did I start? She said, you say you want to settle us now. He said, and she was there, raking against her mother. Raking against her own parent. The mother that carried you in her womb for 9 months. The mother that gave you so protected you, took care of you, until you cannot speak big grammar. You now have a hand you can use to shoot her with a gun. And yet she's going to church. Disobedient to parents, yes?
Unthankful.
Unthankful, yes?
Unholy.
Unholy.
Without natural affection.
Without natural affection. It's in the church, oh. Natural affection is natural affection. In the church, there are lesbians. In the church, there are homosexuals. Is that a natural affection? It's a demonic affection. Go on. And it's in the church, oh. Go on.
Truth breakers.
Truth breakers.
False accusers. Incontinent.
You are hearing them now. They're carrying Bible. Oh. False accusers. Incontinent. Yes?
Fierce.
Uh-huh.
Despisers of those that are good.
Can you see? What do they do? They despise those that are good in the church here. Have you not sat down and just seen somebody hates you for nothing? Eh? And it's a brother, Christian sister. Eh? Why? Because everybody talks about you that you are so nice. That's all. That's the only reason he hates you. Yes?
Traitors. Heady.
Traitors. Heady. Proud. Go on.
High-minded.
High-minded. When you say talk of high-mindedness, if in the Church of Jesus Christ you see high-minded people, and yet the Bible tells us we should condescend to men of low degree. You are supposed to humble yourself. The Christian life is not a life of competition. When you see a man that has no income, has no business, all he has is nothing other than the grace of God in his life, and begins to think that I must ride this car, I must do this one, I only wear designer's wear, I must this, you know where that spirit is coming from. It's part of the spirit of the end time. High-minded. High-minded. I've seen people just out of... I've told you people something, and I mean it. Those of us who are married, the first person to give testimony of your Christianity is who? It's your wife. How many of you married here can stand up and say, my wife can testify I am a Christian? Can you stand up and let your wife confirm it? It's nobody, nobody. I said stand up and let your wife confirm it. There are some of you that if your wife confirms to the contrary, you finish her when you go home. So what will she say? She will sit and say, ah. She will look one side and say, ah, he's good though. Now, Christian. Pastor, now you won't put me for trouble with this one, so. Eh, he's good. Brethren, not too many people can stand and say, look, I know my wife is a Christian. I know my husband is a Christian. Hallelujah. And speaking about high-mindedness, there are brethren, men, that will not buy their wife wrapper, will not buy their wife better thing to wear, but come and see what they want to exhibit concerning themselves outside. It's because that spirit is upon you, high-mindedness. See, if you want to truly show, say you be man, let it reflect on your wife. Let it reflect on your children. Hallelujah. That's the truth. The first breakthrough that my brother has, Erasius, engineer Erasius, is that the name? Erasius, I'm always finding it difficult to call your name. Are you here? Where is he? Is he here? Is his wife here? Where is his wife? Is his wife here? Engineer Erasmus. Eh? What, Erasmus? I don't know, something like that. You know who I'm referring to, engineer? Is he here? Where's the wife? No, just wave your hand if the wife is around. The wife here? She was here? Maybe going to the toilet? The first breakthrough that brother had, because devil suffered him. The enemy peppered him until he found this church. Located this church, God gave him victory, breakthrough, because he remembered that in the time of difficulty, his wife stood by him. As soon as he had a breakthrough, before he bought himself any car, he bought his wife a car. Bam. That's the truth. And he left the car with the wife, and then it will work out. For public transport, they go. Why? That's a proper man. It's not a high-minded person. High-minded person. Okay, I'm hearing somebody making one comment somewhere. Praise the Lord. Yes, they're reminding me that the wife stood by him. That is, if the wife did not stand by him, he should not buy her that car. That's what you are saying. the Lord. Now that is correct, because there are some women that will increase your problem in the period of your trial. There are some women that will increase the problem. They will tell you, your men are there, sitting down here, other men are there, and they will increase the problem. There are some men that when it is time to go home, they are scared even to go home. Amen. Praise the Lord. But I'm looking at a proper setting. In a proper setting, what that brother did is what we should do. I'm still looking at high-mindedness. High-mindedness. Imagine that I will come to church and wear suit, new cloth, new shoe, new what? Then, when my wife is coming, she's following me with a dress that has already, you know, and then the shoe, all her leg, don't cut all. And then she's walking with bathroom slipper, piam, and following me with a baby for back. And here am I with designer cloth. Something is wrong with me if you do that. Is that spirit of high-mindedness? Sister, continue.
Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of
God. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Brethren, how many times do you fast in a month? How many times, Christian, the condition of the end time, how many times do you pray in a day? How many times, how long do you stay to read your Bible? Compare that with how many times you watch your television. Compare that with how many times you listen to those worldly music. Compared with how many times you go to watch football, to do all these things that bring nothing but pleasure. It's a spirit of the latter times. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Go on.
Having a form of godliness but denying the power.
They have a form of godliness and they deny the power. The godliness goes with a power. That power is a power of conversion. If you have a form of godliness, always going to church, participating in church activities, you have a form of godliness, but the power of conversion, you have denied God the ability to do that. That is what he's talking about. You have a form of godliness, but you deny the power thereof. This gospel we have, this Bible we carry, has a power to convert. Has a power to change lives. They have same power that heals, that delivers, that breaks curses. That same power can also convert. Go on. And remember also, we can still go further. There are churches also that have a form of godliness but deny the power. They will not allow the move of the Holy Ghost. They will not allow the gifts of the Holy Ghost. I want to see anybody who rightly reads the Bible and can stand and say, these gifts are in the days of the apostle. And go to Hebrews chapter 13 verse 8 and read Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. How is it the same yesterday, today, and forever? And then you put the power side to the apostle. He was yesterday. He is not the same today. And worse still, people, followers of William Branham, supposedly, deny the gifts. How many anti-message churches will you go today in this country, Nigeria, that will allow the Spirit of God move through prophecies and what you see happening in a church like this? Why? They have a form of godliness and they deny the power thereof. Apostle Paul says something following that verse. Go on.
From such, turn away.
What did he say you should do? From such people, what should you do? Turn away from them. Turn away from them. If you sit in assemblies where they don't allow you to pray to your gift, that pastor is killing you spiritually and is denying you of a reward of service. What will you tell the Lord Jesus Christ after the rapture? What did you do with the gift he gave you? My pastor say, get away from that place. The Church of Jesus Christ is not a one-man show. How can all of you gather here and only me will preach? And only me will heal? Only me will prophesy? Only me will do counseling? Any other person not to hold people when they are under anointing for me? Some people give now to hold people when they want fall. That is it. Then you say you're a church worker. I'm a church worker. Which kind of work you they do? When people fall under anointing, when pastor throw a hand like this, now we they go lift them up. Go on.
For of this sort are they which creep into houses.
No, go to verse 13.
Verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse.
Evil men and seducers are the latter times. What will they do? What will happen to them? They will wax what? Strong and what? Strong. Strong and strong. They are evil. They will continue in it. Worse and worse and worse. Go on.
Deceiving and being deceived.
They will be deceiving and they will be deceived themselves. They are all evil men. Plus those who listen to them. Plus those who deceive. All of them are the same thing. Go ahead.
Verse 14.
Yes.
But continue thou in the things which
that thou hast learned. That is what we are going now. Continue. Apostle Paul said you should continue in the things that what? Read on.
But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned.
Uh-huh.
And has been assured of.
Uh-huh.
Knowing of whom thou hast learned them.
Who did they learn from? Apostle Paul. Because he was sure. Sure. Certainty. Certainty. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's read another condition again. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Read from verse 2 to 4. Who is with the microphone?
2 Timothy chapter 4 from verse 2.
Yes.
Preach the word.
That is his admonishment to every pastor, every preacher, every minister. Preach the word. Uh-huh.
And be instant in season.
Yes.
Out of season.
Yes.
Reprove.
Uh-huh.
Rebuke. Exhort with all long sufferings and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine.
A time it will come, and that time has come. That time has come. When they, the listeners, going to church, they will not endure sound doctrine. You know, I am preaching normal sermon here. The way Apostle Paul preached, the way William Branham preached, the way Peter preached, the way John the Baptist preached. But do you know, some people who come to this church, they say, Kai, Pastor, I like the way you preach because you preach raw. And I'm wondering, what is raw about what I am saying? I'm only saying what the Bible says. But because the gospel has been watered down. Has been watered down. So, when you meet where people are saying it the way it should be said, you are surprised. Kai, this man, the way they talk are raw. There's nothing raw. Now, Bible I talk. Thief, not thief. What do you want me to call thief? Person carry the thing when not belong to him. Where did he be? Huh? Then I say, you are a thief. You say, Kai, pastor is raw.